call the Kootenai Fire District Prudential Committee meeting to order at 5:30 on October 28, 2019. Could I have a roll call, please?
Ray Perone, Treasurer.
Lisa Mycock Kelly, Prudential.
Fran Parks, Prudential.
Sylvia Denal, Prudential.
Charlie Yeager, Clerk.
Is anyone recording? No one's recording. Can we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So first on the agenda is a tax clarification, classification hearing. And I need a motion to suspend the... Do I need to open it first?
Open it first.
I need a motion to open the tax classification hearing.
I move we open the tax classification hearing.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I now need a motion to suspend the tax classification hearing until the 20th of November 2019.
Go ahead. I move we vote to move the tax classification meeting to November.
To suspend
the tax classification meeting to November 20th, 2019.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Treasurer's report.
I'm sorry. What time is the meeting on? Is it on the 20th? Do you recall?
5:30.
Is it regular 5:30?
5:30, yes.
Okay. Regular 5:30. All right. I apologize.
That's all right. I've handed out statements. Apologies in advance for not getting them to you sooner. Things got crunched as we tried to get ready for year end. Looking at our revenue, the tax collections are right on budget for the three-month period. Should be 25%, and in fact, it is 25%. I just comment that the current year collections are up 20%, which implies that the prior year collections are down from the past year. But anyway, it's a strong indication of good collection activity this year. The water department is just slightly below overall, but it's noteworthy that the water rates, which include the meter charge, are $95,000 this year versus $13,018, so up substantially. The fire department is ahead of budget. And actually, it's the ambulance service charges are ahead in both years and are running at about level $80,000 for the quarter. In the other category, interest was higher than we budgeted, and that explains that positive variance. Turning to the expenditures, the Prudential is over its target of 25%. It's 37%, but that is due to our one-time insurance payments that we make in August that cover the whole year, and that constitutes like over $100,000, which accounts for that variance. The fire department is on target, and in fact, there's $9,000, which I'm going to propose that we move from expenditure to projects, and you'll see that in the second page when we close out one of the paving projects. The water department on target, Freedom Hall on target, street lights on target. The Liberty Library payment will be going out on the next warrant. Debt service is not due. First one is due in December, and we'll talk about that in a moment. The benefits appear over, but there are two causes for that. Number one, we pay the county retirement, which is approximately $247,000. We pay that in June. July, rather. So that takes a big chunk of that expenditure variance. And the other part is we have 4 months, which is just a timing issue, 4 months of health bills in the first quarter as opposed to three. And the transfers, nothing scheduled and nothing done to date. Turning the page to appropriations, and if anybody wants to follow along, these are all right on that. Page. Turning to the second part, I've listed our open encumbrances. We have, first of all, we have $50,000 to rehab engine 263. That is still under review by the fire department to see what the economics are of actually doing that repair. Pump well treatment. The pump well treatment is $30,000, and that is being held for contingencies. The SAFE grant is $1,092, and that is in process. Replacing the fire station roof, $55,000 has been spent, and in fact, it was overspent by $9,900. Chief received three quotes, all of which were over what we had projected. He took the lowest quote, and it was deemed that we should proceed. We had room with the paving project, which we can move that money to cover that. Given the fact that we had three quotes all over budget, it was deemed that we should proceed on that because it was not going to get any better for getting more quotes. Air packs at $120,000 for 2 years has been spent. That project is completed. Fire station repairs, $100,000, has just started. As you can see in the kitchen, it is underway. And I'd have to say that a heck of a lot of work was done by the firefighters themselves, and they saved the district a substantial amount of money in doing that. So we've only spent 10. If you've ever redone a kitchen, you're
they
not going
to
get a kitchen
house.
So kudos to the firefighters. Freedom Hall flooring is in process. Freedom Hall ceiling is pending. Repaving the parking lot is completed, and that is the project that I am proposing that we close and transfer to the roof project with the balance going to stabilization. The water department pickup had $7,000 left over. Fire department had $3,000. Roll pound, an old project, is still in the books for $32,000. It's completed. Main Street mains, similar story, on the books for $45,000, and the water tank balance of $139,000 still on the books. The latter five require district meeting closure, so that is something that I would propose to do at the special district meeting. The next page.
Can I just make a quick comment?
Sure.
I believe that 263 has been rehabbed and is back. It was done quicker than they expected. So I don't know how much it actually cost of the $50,000.
Then I'll have to catch up with the expenditure.
Catch up with the chief, yeah.
On the next page, we have debt that is coming due in December. It is all classified as short-term debt. And we have currently available to pay for debt $200,000 in the budget. And if we close all of those projects I described, we would have another $242,000. The only proviso is when you close one of those projects that have debt, they are supposed to be, those funds are supposed to be used on a project of a similar life, according to regulations. So looking at our short-term debt, we have the water system chemical upgrades, security upgrades, fire station roof, the repaving, two pickups, and air packs. Alternative A would be to continue using short-term financing. That is, paying down part of it and rolling over into a new bond. The rule is that we have to pay off that within 5 years if we stay with short-term. We're actually into the fourth year, or into the first year. We've passed the first year, so we're really looking at a four-year amortization on our short-term debt versus paying down some of it, converting the balance to a long-term debt, and amortizing that over an eight-year period. I've looked at the two, and based on short-term borrowing at 2.5% constantly, on a constant basis, which I don't think is realistic, and looking at it at a 10% increase, which would result in about a 2.9% average over the 5 years, you come out with a cost of $1,051,000 over the 5 years, the life of that loan. If we went long term, we would spend a total of $1,019,000 over the 8 years. So it would appear to be not only safe from the standpoint of increasing interest rates, but also appears to be from a straight dollar to look at a long-term rate. And so I've prepared a schedule that, on the next page that lays out what that would look like. The water system got broken into two parts, but that combines into the $500,000. The next is the water security system, $470,000. The water department truck, $60,000. And then I'm using the balance of the projects to pay those down, $162,000. Carrying on down farther, we have the six air packs, the fire department utility truck, the fire station, and Freedom Hall restoration. I'm paying all of those off, and I'm only renewing a, down at the very bottom, an 808 long-term debt for that. And in actuality, I'd probably use $8,000 of free cash to make it an $800,000 bond over 8 years. In addition, we have two other projects that we'll be talking about. One other project we'll be talking about. In the budget, we have a scheduled $100,000 borrowing for the fire station. And we have proposed $165,000 for the design phase. And that would leave us at the end of the year with $265,000 of short-term debt and approximately $3.5 million of long-term debt with an estimated annual service cost of $419,000. I don't think we have to make a decision today on this. I offer this for your consideration. But we would have to make a decision by the time we go to the special district meeting to ask them to close out those projects. Okay. And also the last sheet that I handed out is the tentative schedule that we would follow for the long-term debt. And so you can see that the 14th, we are coming up with something that we would have to move forward on. questions?
Fred?
Just very quickly, you had, thank you for the information, by the way. I really appreciate it. You just had a couple of comparisons for the short-term debt. One ended up being 1.14. The other one ended up being 1.15. And then the long-term, you expressed that that would be the better deal because in the long-term, with interest and everything, we'd only be paying 1.019. Is that because we got a better rate for the long-term debt?
I used the rate. I think I said it. I used a 4% rate, but your amortization with the short-term debt is much quicker. You're paying that over 4 years. The other you're paying out over 8 years. So it's not only an interest factor, it's also an amortization impact on that.
Correct. But usually when you have longer terms to pay, your interest is higher. You have more opportunity to accrue interest, so that's why...
I used a higher rate for the longer-term debt.
No, yeah, I understand. What I'm saying is usually it's like a... the mortgage, for example. If you have a 30-year mortgage versus a 15-year mortgage, your payments may be higher in your 15-year, but you pay less than interest. So in the long term, you pay less money. So that's why I'm trying to figure out how is the long-term payment yielding a shorter debt overall.
It's because it's a bond.
Well, I guess I'm struggling to explain or to answer your question. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But the math worked out when I amortized $800,000 over 8 years at a 4% interest. That's what my payment came out to be. And so 8 times $100,000 is, or excuse me, $120,000 came to the $1 million. And the interest rate, the short-term interest rate, isn't that much of a break. It's like 2.5% currently, and when I inflated it 10% a year, which resulted in the average rate of 2.9%. That's not completely answering your question. I guess I'd have to go back and work through the numbers to
Yeah, no, I would just, yeah, I don't really want to get into the math of it right now, but if you can... Give me a breakdown.
Sure.
I'd really
I think it'd be worthwhile to do that.
At first glance, it just didn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Doesn't make sense that we have a longer period of time to pay, and we're paying that much less because it's pretty significant.
But that's it's not that I don't believe it. It's just
no. I think it's a worthwhile question. Let me go back and I'll lay out the numbers and make sure that we're looking at the right. As I said, we don't have to make a decision on this. This is something that I want to put in front of you for your consideration.
No, but I appreciate you always looking for alternatives to save us money, so I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. So I know on the first page, just to go back to the very beginning, the interest rates are higher than budgeted. Was there a reason for that? Or, you know, I haven't said
budget low. Okay. I intentionally budget low because if you... budget, if you will, realistically, you run the risk of a revenue deficit in our tax recap. Mm-hmm. So I'm always very conservative on that.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
One more, just real quick. I think you explained this really well, but just want to confirm, both on the debt service line item and on the Prudential Committee line item, we're currently, as it stands, looks like we're over budget because we have the one-time payment coming in. It's not something that it gets spread out monthly. But once this payment comes in for the year, then everything else just stays similar. So we'll eventually catch up at some point in time.
You'll catch up at the end of the year.
Correct.
The insurance payment is a one annual premium we pay in
one fell swoop.
August. And the retirement is an annual payment or the retirement fund that we pay in July.
Excellent. Thank you.
Do you want to discuss the IT security review now?
I have... we've been looking at our security. The state issued a warning.
Thank you.
Really more of a heads up about ransomware. And we looked at our backup security and really weren't too pleased with it. So what Lisa has developed is a process of copying our ledger onto a file that is backed up by secure networks in the cloud. We also use occasional remote storage to back that up. It's not a perfect backup. It's kind of just a, if you will, a carbon copy of one out there. And if we ever did have to recover it, we'd be recovering it on our own. Vadar offers a cloud-based system as opposed to the PC-based system that we have right now. And the cloud-based is continuous backup. Plus, if there were a need to implement recovery, they're there to help you back it up. It's not free. Additional cost would be approximately $1,400 per year, something that's not in the budget, but something that I recommend that we consider either this year or next doing. Ransomware is becoming more prevalent, and if that happens, right now I think we're safe, but it would be it wouldn't be pretty trying to recover.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. My office, my old office personally was the victim, and I'll tell you, it cost a lot more than $1,400 to recover. Yeah.
City of New Bedford is going through that right now. They've been at it for months. It's cost them a ton of money.
And you never get
it affects,
the full back.
Yeah, collections, all the services basically. So for $1,400 a year, it's good peace of mind.
Yeah, I think it gives us peace of mind.
Yep.
Yeah. And the support, I think, is as important as the actual backup.
Right. Being able to get your data as quickly as possible. Right. You're not here to do IT, so.
and Lisa, to her credit, has came up with this backup. We found out we had a real hole in our security, so we've solved that, but I think this is the next proper step.
Well, thank you.
Can I just, any movement on credit card payments with Unibank I'm sure you haven't had time to think about it, probably,
in
the water department.
I really haven't. I apologize. It looks like the last one that we had in the Unibank is the way to go.
Yeah.
The cost is just what you want, zero.
Zero.
They're used by the Barnstable Village. They're happy with it. Definitely seems the way to go. And we'll just work with the water department to get it done. It's probably going to be 2020, second, third quarter.
Okay. So next is the special district meeting. Postcards samples have been delivered to Lejeune by Lisa. They expect to have them in the mail by the first week of November. I'll be putting up the poster at the library this week. And I also sent it off to the Currents. So, and I'll be sending out requests for public service announcements to the radio stations and newspapers. We also have from the clerk a sample of the articles for the meeting. A special district meeting. First is to borrow the $165,085 for the architectural and consulting services for the schematic design through the construction bidding for the district office building. The second is to close Article 14, which was a transfer of the demolition money.
That is a demolition article.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. That's a demo next door.
We need to close that out so it can be transferred to the space needs. Mm. The third is you can read this, to see if the district will vote to amend Article 9, Section 5, second sentence of the district bylaws as passed at the May 29th, May 2019 annual district meeting to read as follows: to raise and appropriate the funding of the Water Department Stabilization Fund each year based on the preceding December's Water Department's census of meters at $20 a meter, adjusted for any shortfall in collections of meter fees from the preceding year. In the first year, FY 2020, there will be no adjustment. So, any questions? So,
what is the change in that?
The change is that we didn't, when we crafted the bylaw and it was approved at the annual district meeting, it didn't include to raise and appropriate.
Okay.
It also didn't include the adjustment for any shortfall in collections. Okay. Otherwise, if we just do the
number,
the 46,000, mm-hmm. then people will be paying. If some haven't paid their meter fees, then you and I and you mm-hmm. will be paying other people's meters fees. So.
I do have a question. I thought we talked about this, and even if we did an article like this in the special meeting, there was nothing you could do regardless until next year.
No.
Nothing, you mean, I'm sorry, as far as funding?
Because the revenue wouldn't come in until the end of the year anyways.
No, because we're saying raise and appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes, I put it in the tax base. And so, therefore, I have the authority to spend it.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with the way the amendment was worded was it created the fund but gave me no authority to spend.
Mm-hmm.
And so I needed the authority. I needed a source of funds to put into that. And there was no source given in the amendment. So now we're saying raise and appropriate. So the taxes provide the funding for that. And then we added the adjustment to tie it to actual receipts on a lagging one-year basis.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Initially, we had talked about doing the funding from the collections.
Correct.
Which would have to
wait till the end of the year.
Yeah. That would have been tedious. Okay. This gets it to the same place easier.
And then Article 4 is to see if the district will vote to transfer and appropriate $9,912 from Article 7 of the May 8, 2018 Annual District Meeting to Article 6 of the May 2018 Annual District Meeting for the fire station roof.
Yeah.
And lastly, to see if the district will vote to close Article 7 of the May 30, 2018 Annual District Meeting and transfer the remaining $5,013.32 to the District Stabilization Fund.
There would be other articles that we would add, as I alerted Charlie, to close those other projects.
We would have to do it like by tomorrow. So time frame to get it published in time.
Well, then we ought to do it. You can decide tomorrow or later to. You don't have to say apply it to what, though. You can just say apply it to similar projects. Because mm-hmm. it has to be by law, it has to be a similar project, similar life project.
So we don't have to actually identify it in the.
I don't think you could get away with not identifying it, just saying that it had to be a similar life project, because it just can't go into general funds to be spent on, if you will, on day-to-day needs. It has to be used for something that has a similar life to the original project. And since there are various, the bulk of the money is 40 years, which would kind of tie to the building.
So there's other articles that you're interested in closing so that they could be reappropriated to other projects?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we know what those are?
The second page of that initial handout,
mm-hmm.
Sylvia.
I've
identified those ones that I would like to close, and it's to pay down debt.
Okay, so they're all going to be used for the same thing. So can we just add a new article saying we would like to close these five projects in order to use that for debt service?
Mm-hmm.
One paragraph, bundle them all up into one thing.
Can it be done?
I can write an article. I just I'm just trying to figure
out. Tom, do you want me to draft it and you correct it?
Okay.
The other thing is...
Yes, just so I know, I'm not sure exactly what fiscal year they're from. What fiscal year?
Yeah.
For the project.
Oh, yeah. I'll find that out.
And then you said there's a time frame with this of tomorrow?
Yeah. Well, it has to be published in the Cape Cod Times 14 days prior.
Do we have to vote on the warrant beforehand?
Probably.
Yeah, if we had that article.
Do we need to write this article right now?
Yep.
Well, why don't you do that and we'll go on to streetlights. So I just want to go back to the postcards. The total cost is going to be, for sending out the postcards, going to be $421.50 for postage and $324.50 for printing and sorting.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that.
Yes, thank you.
I was excited.
Yeah. $421. But that's okay.
So,
we still custom
with that. So we have had two requests about streetlights. One is from the section of Lansdowne development that is in Kootuat. Mm-hmm. There and the other is from a lady on Mariner's Circle. So I've gone back through all of the annual reports starting in 1939 to look at the district's policies about streetlights. The first thing I need to say is neither of those requests, they don't have telephone poles. Their wiring is all underground. And the last mention of a policy about streetlights was in late 1970, early 1980, and the decision was that streetlights would only be for intersections and dangerous curves. The only time that I could find that any streetlights were taken over by the fire district was streetlights in Kootuat Coves, of which there are only two, because I drove around looking at streetlights.
Wonder
story of my life, looking at streetlights, counting them. And they're on telephone poles.
Okay.
So this is a picture of the light on Lansdowne.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
They're decorative.
Yeah, they're decorative streets.
Yeah. So there seems to be, Mr. Fontaine is here from Lansdowne, and there seems to be some confusion in the residents as to who owns the lights. Some think the association owns the lights. Some think that because the roads were taken over by the town, that the town owns the lights. But as I told him, the town doesn't own any street lights. And so I'm not even sure that I think the problems with this is that there are other developments that have street lights that will request that we take them over, none of them being the same, and not, you know, are not on and no telephone poles. And I could find nowhere in the from 1939 onward where we installed telephone poles. We just put lights on existing telephone poles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's my recommendation that we, you know, maintain the policy of just intersections and dangerous spots where there are telephone poles for us to put the lights on. The lights themselves, just the arm and the light that we have, cost $600. Telephone poles cost anywhere from $800 to $1,500. $1,500. You know better than that how much mm-hmm. telephone poles cost. And along that with that would be, you know, electrical service to light the poles. So I know that they also contacted Centerville because some of the lights on Tupelo, which is in Centerville.
Marston's Mills,
yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Contacted the Prudential Committee, COMM's Prudential Committee, and they also voted not to take the lights over. So.
No, my only concern is, just like you said, there's consistency in what We would call the cobra heads, which are the ones that are mounted on the poles. So for maintenance purposes, they're all the same. For repairs purposes, they're all the same. When you start getting into the business of decorative lights, they could be a variety of different decorative lights. I think could be a burden on the district. The only place in town that I know the lights are not maintained by fire districts, they're in Hyannis and Beers' Way, those new decorative lights. The town maintained those because the fire district didn't want to take them because they're decorative lights, and there's a huge expense when something goes wrong with them. So also, these don't look like they're LEDs, so
in order to make them LEDs,
you have to change the ballast, and that comes at an expense too. So again, for our small contracts that we have with Siemens, adding decorative lights would be a big burden.
Big burden, yeah.
It would change our contract, too. We would have to negotiate that with them.
I'm not even sure Siemens would take care of those, would they?
That's another thing.
Yeah.
It would be that they just say no. So even if we wanted to, our vendor may say no.
I don't disagree. And just, you know, just so you know, through the reading, we are now, in terms of paying for our streetlights, we are back now to approximately late 1970 cost.
Wow.
Because of the LEDs that we put in. So
that's great.
So, you know, we saved a great deal of money with that. So.
Madam Chairman, can I be excused to?
Thank
you. I don't know the numbers off the
top of my head. Sure. This is Mr. Fontana.
So I'm Phil Fontana from the Einstein Homeowners. When I moved in a couple of years ago, my neighbors told me that the Homeowners Association owned the streetlights and the roads, and that's what they did with our dues money. They maintained those two things. So we had a meeting of residents, and somebody suggested that we contact Mass Save. And so we had a conference call with Mass Save, and the lady at Mass Save, Margaret Wong, suggested that we contact the Prudential Committee and ask them to take the lights. She had some experience in Centerville, I think the Beach Association at Craigville Beach, asked them to take over their lights, and they did. So that's why we approach the committee in the first place. We don't know if the lights are LEDs or not, but MassSave has money, and they'll pay to convert them if that's if you accept them. So that's not really a concern for the Prudential Committee, I don't think. They're on poles, they're just not on wooden telephone poles. They're on aluminum decorative poles. And so the matter is just to convert the ballast or whatever it is. I don't know, even if they need to be converted. But according to Margaret Wong from the Mass Save, the amount of money we're talking about is $7 per pole per month. Compared to the numbers I've been listening to you talk about in the last 15 minutes, I mean, it's a pittance.
Any response?
Yeah, no, I mean, I understand maybe the conversion would be simple, but storm hits that pole goes down. We have to buy the entire assembly, put it up at a cost to the district because now we're maintaining that light. And I personally don't see the benefit to the entire district for us to be in the business of maintaining decorative lights. If there were like Fran said, they're in a utility pole, it was a cobra head, we have a contract to engage with a vendor already to fix that. This would probably entail a whole new contract for maintenance, an understanding of what you have for underground utilities, because obviously these are fed underground, what the easement issues for, you know, who gave the easement for that light to go where it is. So it's more involved than just taking over the lights and fixing them. There's a whole slew of other issues that I personally don't see the benefit of the district taking over those lights when they don't meet the character of what we do for light maintenance on the streets already. And if there was like you said, a safety component or something like that, absolutely, we'd probably take it over. But it's I don't see the benefit to the district for us to take over these sites.
Well, I would just say that we're about to have Halloween, and there are at least some towns that have in the past canceled Halloween or postponed it because power was out. Mm-hmm. So it's basically, it's a safety issue. That's why we have streetlights in the first place.
Correct.
And then the other thing I would say is that the residents of Widmar are paying for the streetlights all over the town, except for the ones in their neighborhood. So the streetlight on your street is being paid for by the people on Widmar, but they don't get any service from the town.
Widmar? Where's Widmar?
It's in Putnam. As are some of the residents of Kitchewa Cove, because they only have two streetlights. Yeah. You know that, and there's telephone. There's additional telephone poles up there,
so it'd be
easier for us to install lights on those and have them covered under the contract.
And I don't have any streetlights on the street I live on.
Me neither.
And I don't. And there's a dearth of streetlights, fortunately, on Old Post Road, which is the road I live off of. So. I know it's hard to understand, but the other point is that, you know, if we start taking over, then there are multiple other developments that will come and want to have us take over their association lights also. And, you know, I believe that when at least the other association people I talked to, you know, they were made aware when they purchased their homes that they would, you know, be paying for the lights.
Well, according to Eversource, the electric bill that we get from Eversource does not include the streetlights. That's from their mouth to my ear.
Well, it will go to the association, doesn't it? Don't you pay the association?
That's what Eversource told me.
I think you're winning from Eversource. I wouldn't inquire further.
Yeah, neither would I. I'd drop it. Yeah.
Well, then, who does pay for it?
Oh no! Trust me, we're not paying.
We know exactly
how
many
streetlights.
We have a we have a list of every single light that we have. Okay, you know.
Is that something you can share with us? Because I just want to see if the lights at Widmar are on the list or not.
They aren't, because the lights that are listed all are on telephone poles, and they have pole numbers associated with them. So they're not on the list.
Yeah. Hmm?
And there are no
Whitmore or Tupelo.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think when people plan these type of developments, you know, they have to. It's kind of a risk they assume when they want to have that more decorative lighting. You know, it creates a nicer ambiance, but you know, you generally have to pay for that. And unfortunately, it doesn't sound like new homeowners are being kept abreast of, you know, exactly what you're getting into when you purchase in the association. But, you know, certainly, you know, I think that is had to be taken into account when they originally planned the development and decided to put everything underground and put up the decorative lights.
Yeah.
I didn't come tonight to request that you accept the lights. I just came to get information as to what the status of the lights is, and in particular, who owns the lights, and how to find that out.
Yeah. We don't own the poles. We only own
the lights.
The lights on the poles.
I don't know if you've noticed by the parking area to get to Eagle Pond, there's one light with a sodium light bulb on it. I spent a great deal of time on the phone with Eversource about that sodium light. And, you know, because when the lights were changed, we actually found out that some of the lights on Putnam were being paid for by COMM. And with their lights, they were our lights. So that got changed. Everything got changed over with the exception of that sodium light. Now, supposedly, that's not our light. It's owned by a private owner, who they don't know the name of. So it may be the same person who's paying for your lights. There's a guy who pays for that person who pays for the sodium light on Putnam Avenue. But, yeah, they didn't know the name of that person either. So
when you say they didn't know the name?
Eversource.
Eversource?
Yeah.
Eversource very convincing to me.
I'm sure.
It says that those lights are owned by the town of Barnstable.
Right.
Yeah. You're saying no.
The town of Barnstable doesn't own any lights.
This is not the town of Barnstable.
This is a village, the Catoosa Fire District.
Eversource, two different people on two different days, told me that their records show that the lights that we're talking about on Whitmar are owned by the town.
My experience is I'm highly dubious.
They might be owned by the town because the town owns the roads, but this is not the town.
Right. Yeah, I understand.
My conversations with Eversource over that one sodium light, I'm highly dubious of their record keeping. You know, I think when it went from Cape and Vineyard to whoever took it next, I think something got lost in the transfer. So, but I can definitely, it isn't the town. The only ones apparently that they take care of are on Bursa's Way in Hyannis. The rest, all the other street lights in the town of Barnstable are owned by the respective fire districts that they're in. So.
Or by homeowners.
Or by homeowners.
A mystery homeowners.
Yeah. Okay. So the Freedom Hall floor, I was there over the weekend. The floor was all complete except for about two boards that needed to go in just in front of the doors coming in from the vestibule. They need to put the quarter around down. Other than that, the floor is completed and just needs to be sanded and polied. Pardon me. So can we find out when they're going to do that? So that, 'cause November 4th, the voting booths arrive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to make sure that it's ready for November 4th, and if not, we can hold off sanding it and polishing it until after the election.
I can certainly ask, absolutely. Yeah. I have asked in the past, too, assistant treasurer, if he can send me the district's tax exemption certificate. Because they need that.
I sent that to him.
Perfect, thank
That's
you.
All done.
I appreciate that.
The other thing is that the floor grates are out being taken care of.
He wrote back, he said he was going to do that.
Yeah, so
awesome.
They definitely need to be in the floor by the time of the election also, so we don't have anybody slipping, sliding into the big pit.
Yep.
The November meeting. the question is, do we want to just do when the assessor comes, we would just want to do the regular November meeting on the 20th instead of the 25th?
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Okay.
So, November 20th. Yeah. That's on a Wednesday.
Yes.
Yeah, Wednesdays are better for me. Sometimes I have selectmen meetings on Mondays.
So we don't have any conflict with anybody that we'd have to...
No, we'll have to do it here.
Okay.
Because
so it's
the water
be
department
the
will be meeting that day. Yeah. So, and apparently, if we get this...
I already took a look at that.
So why don't we take a 10-minute recess for Ray to finish working on the...
Well, to make a motion and vote on it, to take a recess?
Sure.
Why not? Make a motion to take a 10-minute recess in order for Ray and the district clerk to work on language for the article for the special district meeting?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Don't resume the call the meeting to order. Back to the draft agenda for the district meeting.
What I propose is that the Article 5 that you have in your letter is dropped and substituted for that article is the following. Sure. To see if the district will vote to close the following projects and use, maybe transfer would be a better word.
Transfer and appropriate.
Transfer and appropriate. These, the remaining funds.
Outstanding balances.
Are they?
And you put it in the amount of.
In the total amount?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The outstanding balance in the amount of $232,492. The funds to pay down debt of projects with similar economic life. And then I list F-19, Article 7, $5,013. Fiscal year 2019, Article 13, $7,044. Fiscal year 2019, Article 9, $3,513. Fiscal year 2009, Article number 10, $32,477. Fiscal year 2013, Article 10, $45,362. Fiscal year 2012 and fiscal year 2015, Articles 20, 10, and 19, respectively, $139,082. And I would think I should add the name of those articles. Or is the norm, that enough of an identification?
Yeah. I think it just usually says just a year in the article.
You're in the article, so you really need to,
okay.
If you want to identify it.
Okay, that's what I've done, and it would look like this when I type it up. Verbiage, and then a list of articles with their identifiers. And I just point out that we would use the budgeted $200,000 to pay down the short-term project, like the trucks and the air packs. These funds would be used to pay down the debt for the chemical and security upgrades, of the water department, which have a long-term life, similar to the projects we're closing.
Does that sound good to you, Mr.
Yeah.
Clerk?
I would have typed it up, but I...
Yeah. So, I need a motion to accept the special district, to a fire district special district meeting November 19th, 2019 warrant.
As amended to include these changes.
As amended to include changes presented by the treasurer.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ray.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment?
Do you have a PDF of anything you want the citizen to send out? So I can let them know.
I've already contacted the editor of the Currents.
Not the Currents, for an email blast.
Oh, no. Talk about that at their meeting?
I'm going to wait till... What do you call other topics? But yeah, we can talk about it now. I've been in touch with Carol a little bit about that meeting. I'm going there on the 5th. Their meeting's from 7 to 8. How much time are they going to allot to this, or is it going to be just a PSA? This is going to happen. This is when it's going to occur, if you don't mind showing up. So that's what I envisioned. And if people had comments or questions, they could ask me, but it was just a very informal thing, a couple of minutes, just saying, if you don't mind just showing up to our meeting, that'd be great.
I think what Carol's asking is, can we provide her anything for them to send an email to the members? What do we have in PDF form that they could...
We have the card.
I was going to say... So that's what I was saying. I don't have any additional information beyond.
That's what I was just asking. Yeah. I heard what Ms. Park said about what she was going to be doing, but I didn't hear about the availability of the Civic Association's email blast.
Yeah,
so
I was actually going to ask about that. But is there anything, and is there anything on the board we could PDF that's going up at the library?
I have a photo of it.
Okay.
I can take a better photo.
But what I would recommend that is about the, you want to get information out about the presentation on
mm-hmm.
the 12th,
right.
followed by the district
mm-hmm.
meeting,
yeah.
so
mm-hmm.
that people know it's about looking for money to do a project, not a picture of a project, because that may not be the picture that they
right.
design.
I was just trying to eye candy, you know.
Yeah, I know, but it's not.
I know.
It
okay.
can be confusing
yeah.
thinking that the building's already in the building's only going to be $165,000.
I would suggest that the posting you're going to make at the
yeah.
post office.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I know.
Just that information, just passing it on to her. You can send that on an email blast, right?
What, the poster?
Whatever you were
no.
going to put at the post office.
No, I'm not putting anything at the post
or
office.
Or at the library.
At the library.
The library's a poster, which kind of like.
It's 40 by 30.
Yeah.
I know, but is there a PDF file of that?
The wording in the poster.
Or the wording in the poster. Correct.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
all fine.
It's the wording
yeah,
in the poster.
Like
and it's going to be in the Currents, hopefully, also.
Well,
okay.
I'm
but the email blast, I think, is
yeah,
is,
the Currents
good.
Timing as to when that's coming out before the 12th, we might, you know.
Yeah, that might pass. So can we ask Lisa to send
yeah.
that to Carol?
Send it.
Perfect. That's what I'm saying, not reinvent the wheel.
Send it to Jim.
Yeah.
Send it
whatever
to Jim.
Information you already have in a
thank
file,
you.
Just
and thank
pass
you,
it
Carol,
along.
For
thank you.
I think it would probably be nice if they sent two blasts, one before each meeting.
Just ask Jim. Sometimes we try not to overblast.
Yeah.
It's within a week, so I would say we do it for the first one. And I don't know. It's,
Maybe we can see what kind of turnout.
It's a full board decision.
Yeah.
It's not my decision.
Well, maybe we can see what kind of turnout we get at the informational, and then maybe we might.
All set.
Yep. Can I add one last thing?
There's another yes. open comment.
Yes, right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Look, go ahead.
Has there been any discussion amongst the board since I wasn't able to get the last meeting what the plans are if this doesn't pass?
No.
No.
One of the things that addresses your question, Silvio, is each time we have to go out to borrow money, it costs us like $2,000 to $3,000, and you would have that only once with the long term. You'd have it four times with the other. So that's $10,000. So that's
you.
Another cost that would be involved.
Thank you.
Okay. But I'll lay that out. I think that's a good question.
So I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.